soul was hot outside, I was sick, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. My soul is exiled.
Yeah. Amen. The Lord bless each one and give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. And I really appreciate that. One of my favorite hymns. Ah, praise God. Our sister Karen's away to pick up Ruth and Brother Mark are coming in from Portugal, from Australia originally. So they're going to be with us for a few weeks, and then Matthew and Rita's in Portugal at the moment. So just pray the Lord will bless them and the Lord will touch them, praise God. Just to say, Mark's talking about the boat and was close. It was between 4 and 4:30, so it's 4:30 by one vote. So it was very close, but majority rules are saying. So our brother announced it on Sunday when everyone's here as well, and some people weren't sure, was this just for the winter or for the whole term? So there might have to be a referendum. But our brother announced it on Sunday anyhow, but for now it's 4:30, and praise God. And don't forget, Brother John will be preaching for us Sunday morning. Pray for Brother John, and also keep a Brother John prayer for this trip to Australia. It's a big trip, and pray the Lord will really use your brother and help him. And it's a big opportunity, and we appreciate that a brother can go and his brother Brian's can arrange it and everything. We appreciate it. And also Brother Andrew preaching's coming now on the 7th of February. So it's only a couple of weeks away. I'd like to have a Saturday night service. Who else would like a Saturday night? We'll have to ask on Sunday as well, but I think we'll just have to have one anyhow. If others coming the whole way from England, I want to hear their preaching. Yes, we'll have a Saturday night, but a singing and worship, say 7:00, get started. Plenty of worship, singing, give it a bit of time. And maybe get a chance and try and get some people to come in on the Saturday night. Maybe we can get the Scarborough Hall, brother. Okay. There was a man might be wanting a brother to preach on the Saturday, but I've sent him a message. He only does a meeting once a month, and he just doesn't do it every week, so it mightn't suit out. But if he doesn't, work like that, he can come along on the Saturday anyhow. Amen. And here, Brother Andrew, we're looking forward to Brother Andrew coming again. Amen. And keep a Brother Andrew in prayer. And then when he leaves us, not that long after that, when Brother John's in Australia, Andrew will be in Uganda preaching at their convention at Easter in April time. So keep a Brother Andrew in prayer as well. And then I think a Brother Gary's going to mention the prayer list tonight. And please remember to pray for Rob and Ruth, or Rob and Victoria. They've been coming to the services, they're very close to salvation. And pray God will just bring them right in and they'll get saved. And I've been to see them and everything, but I don't want to, you know, I can't convert them. It has to be God. But I believe they're really close, and the Lord's been definitely speaking to the both of them. And Davy West thanks you all for his prayers. He's home. And he thanks you all for his prayers, and you can pray for him as well, praise God. Let us turn to the Word of God, and I won't try and keep us too long tonight. And tonight I want to preach on gifts of healing. And the thing about which I want to try and bring out tonight is the word gifts. Not gift, but gifts. So it's more than one. But it's under the word gifts of healing. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 to 6. Just for reading, and then we're text is from chapter 12. But 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 to 6. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to the edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, so it does you good if you do it. Yes. But he that prophesieth edifieth the whole church, so it does everybody good. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, that's really our text tonight. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this evening that we can come and bow before you, and we know that you do hear us and answer us. We thank you, Lord, even for the testimonies this week past, how you've spoke to people, Lord, and they believe you have spoke to them. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray you'll continue to speak to us. We need you, Lord. We need you tonight in this meeting. We're asking for your help. We're asking that you'll come, that you'll touch the lips of clay. Lord, and even when we come to pray, that you'll inspire us what to pray and how to pray. And Lord, that you'll just have your way, that we'll be led of the Holy Spirit tonight. We ask that you'll bind every work of the enemy. We cast down all reasoning, all vain imagination, every thought, Lord, we'd have that would exalt itself against the knowledge of the truth. We cast it down. And we ask for your thoughts, and that you bring forth what you want said and want done, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, we ask for the services that lay ahead, for your wisdom, for your guidance, for your leadership. Pray and bless your brother John, you bless your brother Andrew, that you bless all the meetings that's been arranged, and for the prayer list, Lord, that you'll inspire us to pray these men and women into the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you that somebody was led to pray for every one of us, and we give you the praise. Now, Lord, bless your word tonight to the hearts. Bless our sister Carol as she travels tonight to lift the family, Lord, and bless the family that's away in Portugal, Lord, and just bless the whole family circle. Bless your sister Carl. Give her your strength. Give her your grace and your courage, Lord. And help her to know that you're with her every step of the way. And you're her provider in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, for anyone needs in this room tonight, may you provide for them in Jesus Christ's name. And for those in their families that need your touch, Lord, may the Spirit of the Lord touch them and heal them in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I take the Holy Spirit by faith to help me, Lord. And I thank you that you do, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. It's maybe seated, praise God. I'm trying not to be any more than 20 minutes tonight, and then we're going to pray. Praise God. Get to feel it. What you're going to notice when we look, you know, in your Bible, when you study your Bible, and we should study our Bibles and read, and that's why it's good to come in the midweek, because we hear the Word of God again. And it's busy through the week, and it's good to come aside just for a time to hear the Word of God preached and expounded, and just to refresh us. And you know, when you look at the children of Israel during the 40 years of marching through the desert, the Bible says that there wasn't one feeble person among their tribes. And God can keep all of us as well. If God, under the Old Testament, was fit to keep the children of Israel for 40 years, and the Word of God says there wasn't a sick one amongst them, and it even says their clothes never waxed old for 40 years. That is supernatural. So many people take the 40 years as a negative thing, but there's so many good things in it as well in the 40 years. How God preserved them, how God kept them, and how God, you know, fed them and looked after them. And if God did that before Christ went to the cross, and you think of what he did under the brazen serpent when they looked on it, they were healed. And how much more when we look to Christ tonight should we expect to be healed? And you know, healing is in the atonement. When Christ died on the cross, just as salvation's in it, healing's in it, and sickness is because of sin. And there's an answer for sin, so there's an answer for sickness. And we know that Christ is the answer for sin, and he's also the answer for sickness. And God keeps us, and it's a wonderful thought, isn't it? That God can keep us, and God can provide for us, and God can look after us. And I believe what it said last week, and that Daniel did his part in the way of believing, and then God did his part in the way of protecting him and looking after him. Elijah did his part, and you know, and sometimes there's a struggle. It's not always easy. You can feel absolutely that nothing's happening, and God's even left you, and all these feelings, he can have them. All of us, I'm sure, has had them. Elijah says, there's nobody else left, Lord, I'm the only one. And God said, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. And you know when he's back in the cave and he heard the still small voice. And all these other noises, there's lots of noises, but not until the still small voice came. That was the genuine voice of God. And sometimes there can be noises, but it's not God, because it's noisy.
Yes.
Doesn't mean it's God. The Bible actually says that a fool's like a thorn crackling under a fire. That's a fool. So a fool can be noisy as well. Now you know God's people can be noisy. I'm not saying they can't, but God can speak to you quietly.
Yes,
God can speak into your spirit when you're away by yourself. Just speak to you, within you. And that's the Spirit of God can do that. And we thank God for that. Now, all these wonderful things, notice it doesn't say the gift, but gifts of healing. Gifts of healing, it says, not gifts. Although it's one manifestation, but it's gifts.
Yes.
And God can work with these gifts with different people in different ways. But it's all the Spirit of God. And it's nothing but the Spirit of God. I mean, think of this, what I wrote here. It's like a bunch of grapes. It's not one grape, but a cluster of many grapes. So the gift of healing, there's many gifts all clustered together in one composite manifestation. And one might ask, how many gifts are there of healing? And my answer to that is, and I'm not saying this is a doctrine, but in Revelations chapter 22, verse 2, if you want to read it, it talks about the trees in heaven, the trees and the fruit on them trees. And the leaves, 12 for the healing of the nations. So there's 12 different fruits. Somebody knows the Word of God says it. You can read it in your Bible. I'm wanting to save time tonight. You can look at it. In the New Jerusalem, there will be the tree of life. And it says that on the tree of life, there are 12 different kinds of fruit. And every fruit will have its own leaf. So there will be 12 different kinds of leaves for the healing of the nations. And I believe it exists. There's at least 12. But there could be more different gifts of healing, because the Bible's an excellent end, that's one of one. But I believe it like this, that there's a gift of healing for every single disease there is in this world. God's a gift of healing for that disease. That's the way I believe it. So whether that's 12 or more, well, it's at least 12. It's no less than 12. It could be 12 and more, it could be 100. I don't know what different diseases are, but there's healing for every one of them. Just like on the cross, the blood type of Jesus matched every patient. You know, when you go to get blood, your blood has to match the patient. You have to have the right blood type, but the blood type of Jesus matched the patient for what our disease was sin. And his blood type matched every patient. And just as the blood type of Jesus matched every patient to forgive sin, there's gifts of healing for every single sickness that was paid for 2,000 years ago at the cross. There's no disease, there's no sickness, and there's not a gift of healing for it. There's a gift of healing for every single one. And if we haven't seen them, that doesn't mean they're not there. Just like everybody's not saved, but there is those that are saved. And we must preach healing and preach salvation. Yes, it's the most important thing. We believe that, but healing is also an atonement. And we need to be taught. And we need to preach in healing. Praise God. Every fruit will have its leaves. So there will be 12 different kinds of leaves. Praise God. Now, as I've said, it's every category. I don't know how many, but I'll tell you there's a lot. There's a lot of different gifts of healing. No infirmity, no complaint from which the sufferer that God's not able to heal. There's nothing that God's not able to heal. I was listening to a prayer line the other day, and a woman had a great big tumour on her. It was massive, you could see it. And she was healed in the service, and it went off her in the meeting, and you could see it. And the people rejoiced that it went right off her. And in one of the meetings, William Branham, when he started operating that gift, could hardly do a thing because of the unbelief. And he rebuked them for the unbelief. And he had to cast the devil off them right in the service. And the Holy Spirit called them to make an altar call. Stop the prayer line and make an altar call to get people to repent. This was so-called Christian because of their unbelief in the gift of healing. Now you think of the ministry that man had. How hard is it today to get people to believe for healing? It's even harder now than it ever was. Wigglesworth said, the time will come when it will Very difficult to operate a deliverance ministry in the gift of healing because of unbelief. And actually unbelief's been taught into Christians by preachers. Yes. Preachers are teaching it.
Amen.
They're teaching from the Bible. They're misplacing the word of God. And they're teaching that Christ no longer heals. And even around the message churches, they've been preaching for years as well. The gifts are on the shelf. They're guilty as well. There's none of them that's not guilty. But God has a people.
Amen.
That believe the fullness of the word of God.
Yes. Amen.
They believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Imagine to tell God these gifts are on the shelf and people's dying with all types of diseases today. It's terrible. And cancer's on the rampage. And we need the gifts of healing in the body of Jesus Christ more than ever. That's what I believe. We need it. And we need to be praying. And the Bible encourages us to pray for the gifts of the Spirit. It encourages us. It doesn't tell us not till it tells us to pray for them. And we need to be praying for the gifts of the Spirit. And any man we know that's genuine gifts, we need to pray that God keeps them men and God protects them when the devil's against them. And I know men, and they were mightily used to God, and you know them, and the devil got them. And people, you know, almost rejoiced over it. I didn't. I cried over it. Because they weren't fit to do what them men was doing. They never could do what them men. And then people were getting delivered, blinded eyes open and all things. And I tell you, the devil doesn't want that. Because that's rocking his kingdom.
Yes.
And we need the gifts of the Spirit. Praise God. Now, Smith Wigglesworth was particularly interested in people who had internal trouble. So that there's the gifts of healing. And they operate through different ministers in different ways. They won't all be the same. And we don't want them all the same. We don't want, you know... You know what I'm saying. You see one preacher and you hear another man and he's just like that man. I don't like that. God doesn't need parts. He always has the original. And I even knew one preacher and he had a way that he coughed a certain way and every single one that listened to him, they done it. And he had a problem but they didn't. But they picked it up and they coughed the way he coughed. And they didn't even know they're doing it. And they picked up the man's spirit.
Yes.
And William Branham says, you better watch you don't pick the pastor's spirit or some other preacher's spirit. You need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You don't need my spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. And you don't need that. And you don't need William Branham's spirit either. Or Ian Paisley's spirit. Or any other great man of God. We appreciate them all. But we want the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yes.
We don't want the Toronto blessing. We want God's blessing.
Amen.
Amen. But Wigglesworth was used particularly in like internal troubles such as appendix or colic or some internal disorder and was greatly used of God and praying for people in such way. And you know, he was vigorous. And Wigglesworth was known to take people and shake them. Now, I mean shake them. He shaked them violently.
Yes.
And he even took his fist and he just banged him in the guts. A good slap with his fist. A good punch. Sitting in the boxer. Ali. Muhammad Ali. He gave him an Ali special. That's true. And one fella was in the prayer line and when Wigglesworth hit him, he dropped down like he's dead. And the boy behind him shouted at Wigglesworth, he says, you've killed him. You've killed him. Look what you've done. You've killed him. And Wigglesworth never even stopped. He was walking down the line. He never even turned. He kept on going and praying. And he said, he's healed. Because he couldn't pronounce the word H too well. He just said, healed. He's healed. And the next thing the man got up on the ground with two arms up in the air, falling and praising God, totally healed. Delivered from cancer in the stomach and the brain. Absolutely delivered. I'll tell you better than that, and this is true. Wigglesworth was given a dead baby. Like that, and he took it like a football, stone dead, and he booted it into the audience, and somebody caught it, and it screamed and lived. That's faith.
Yes.
Now, know that some boy copies that, it won't work.
Right.
That was God. Opposite to William Branham. William Branham was ever so gentle and the same, quiet, like a wee small man coming in. Wigglesworth was opposite. He was boisterous.
Yes.
He'd give you a towel off quick like Paisley. That's right. He gave Lester Simmerall a real good telling off the first time he heard him preaching. He says he needed to get back to school, boy. He wasn't happy with the sermon. And he gave him a telling off. And Lester Simmerall said he was took back, but after a while, He realized he was telling the truth. So everybody's different. And God's people that are rough, you know, that W.P. Nicholson prayed over Ian Paisley. And this is true. It's not a story. People tell it like a story, but it's a true account. He said, Lord, give Ian Paisley a tongue good and rough like an old cow. Mm-hmm. And a cow's a rough tongue. And Paisley definitely had a rough tongue. There's no question about it. Isn't that right? God answered his prayer. But everybody's different. And you know, Reinhard Bonnke was walking somewhere one day, and Brother John knows a testimony. And God, you know, that voice kept telling him that he could have all this money. And he told God he wanted 1 million souls. And God gave them to him. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it was something, wasn't it?
Yes, amen.
See, that's why when people try to belittle that God done nothing in Africa, that disturbs me greatly. Because they don't know nothing what they're talking about when they make a statement of God. Because you take the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke alone in Africa, what God done. And then I said, what about A.L. in Africa as well? And India. The things that man saw done. He was another man, T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne was more of a quiet man as well. He didn't operate gifts in the sense of shaking people. He just preached. A simple message, tremendous. Have you ever heard T.L. Osborne preaching on healing? There's nobody can teach better healing than T.L. Osborne, and I've heard them all. I'm telling you now, he lays it right down on the scripture. Scripture, William Branham used to get him to come and preach. And he even preached his funeral. And when T.L. Osborne preached from the Bible, he believed that God would confirm the word. And after he preached, he prayed a big mass prayer, a bit like Reinhard Bonnke, and the blinded eyes come open, and the deaf ears just opened right in his meetings. He didn't even have to lay hands on them. He just done a mass prayer, and God done it. Because God confirms the gospel. But if you don't believe it like that, it won't happen. You have to believe it. And when you really believe it, God will do it. So all these men was used in different ways, but it was all the gifts of healing. Some servants of God are used in opening blinded eyes. Some of the ministry, particularly with goiters and growths and cancers. And you know, the angel said to William Branham, if you are sincere when you pray, not even cancer will stand before your prayers. See, the angel was sent to that man with a gift of healing to the nations. That was his commission. A gift of healing to the nations. And he was told on more than one occasion, do the work of an evangelist. Make food proof for thy ministry. And that's what God called that man to do. And I tell you, he had a tremendous the gift God gave him. And Wigglesworth, and there's so many wonderful men of God. And the Jeffrey brothers as well were mightily used to God. My friend Keith Malkin is doing a book right now all about the Pentecostal men that God used. So many you've never even heard of. So many men that God wonderfully used in a revival. People think that things happened at Sousa Street and it never happened nowhere else. Well, that's not accurate. Yes, it happened there, and it was powerful, but there's things happened here and in England and all over. It was absolutely outstanding. And you know the real first move was in Scotland. Duncan Campbell. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
And I tell you, God moved there in a mighty way. So there's all these different gifts now. The gifts of healing don't confuse them with the healing through medicine and the medicine profession. People say that's gifts of healing. It's not. Now God uses that, but that's not to be confused with these gifts of healing. Because the doctor is not moving to the Holy Spirit to get new healing. He's educating himself with science and knowledge and medicines. That's fine. And he's doing that, and he's giving it to you, and you're healed. It's ultimately God that does it, yes. But that's not the gifts of healing. Gifts of healing are through the Spirit of God. That God anoints a brother or a sister and they have a gift of healing. And gifts, and it's through the Holy Spirit that they come, and you don't have to learn to get them. They're supernaturally given by the power of God. And God can take a man like Wigglesworth that can hardly talk, and a man like William Branham with 7th grade education to look the gifts of that. And Peter, all learned and ignorant, the Bible said, not the words of Scripture, but they took knowledge and been to Jesus when they met the cripples that were healed. That's the power of God. And that's what we want. We appreciate the doctors. And then there's those who believe positive thinking. Think it and say it and believe it. That's all good. That's still not the gifts of healing. It's good to positive thinking. It's good to do all that, but it's like that faith I talked about last week. The Spirit of God gives you it, and you just believe it. And it just happens. And you don't work at it, it happens. That's the gift of God. We can try and be positive. All them things are good. It's good to be positive. But that's still not it. It's a supernatural act of God. It's like if I said to one of these brothers, give me a message now in tongues. It wouldn't happen like that. When the Spirit of God come on, then it can happen. And when the Holy Spirit comes, it can happen. And you don't premeditate it. God can just do it. Because it's the Holy Spirit. And we need to be open for the Holy Spirit. And we need to be on guard for other spirits.
Amen.
We need the spirit of discernment as well.
Amen.
Now no doubt, positive thinking is good and all that, but it can't be regarded as the operation of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of healing or manifestation of the Spirit. You will remember that when the prophet of the Lord was sent to Bethel, a miracle took place when he cried against the altar and it split in two parts and the fire spewed out of it. And King Jeroboam, who was caused Israel to sin, reached forth his hand and said, lay hold on that man. And he found himself that he couldn't even bring his arm back in, paralyzed. He went against the man of God. And his arm paralyzed, 1 Kings 13, verse 1 to 6, you read it. And at the time he tried to stop what God's doing, and he paralyzed.
Yes, amen.
And I tell you the power of God, that's like the man come in. And the policemen couldn't hold him. And William Brown said, let him alone. He'd fall right over my feet. Thus saith the Lord, he'd done it. That's the power of God. And people asked William Brown, did he get delivered? And he said, no. He never got delivered. And they said, why not? He said, because he worships that demon. And there's some people don't want delivered. They're happy with what they've got. Amen. And they don't want free. But those who want free, the Lord can definitely make them free, praise God. And then they found he couldn't draw his arm back again, and he'd been paralyzed in a moment, and he turned to the man of God for help. To the one that he was going to have him arrested and have him punished, he had to turn to. And to him he had to turn in humiliation, and he asked the man of God for prayer. And the man of God prayed, and the withered arm was healed in a moment when he prayed for this king. God healed him. And the gifts of healing are manifestations of the power of Almighty God. And in every sphere of every disease, God's got a healing. And we just need to tap into it. Look at this, for instance. Isaiah, for instance, prayed for Hezekiah, who had been told he was going to die, and he laid a poultice of figs upon the boy. And Isaiah, verse 38, chapter 9, to verse 22. A lot of people take these scriptures and they say, now I can use a plaster. Because this fellow made a poultice and he laid it in the body. And he made it out of figs. And you know there's no strength in figs unless you drink them. But you see what I'm saying. But God uses things. It's like a point of contact. God uses things. There's nothing wrong with that. God can do that. You see what I'm saying? It's still a gift in the gifts of healing. God can use things. He took handkerchiefs and aprons of the body of Paul and laid them on the sick. Now the power wasn't because of a hanky or an apron. And it wasn't because of that what was laid on the boys, but it's because of the power of God. It was the power of God, but it was a point of contact. And many servants of God used to work with that, where they took prayer cloths from William Brown's meeting and they laid them on people. What about the woman in India? Years and years after William Branham was dead and gone, and she had nothing in her house, and God filled her oil and her bread, like the story in the Old Testament. And it never wasted, just she got a bit of a hanky and believed it. Another one ate a couple of threads from a prayer cloth and a tumor in her throat, and when she swallowed, she's completely healed by the power of God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you could get all the cloth you want and tie that, and it wouldn't work. It's the Holy Spirit that made it happen. But it was a point of contact. Some of them suppose that the use of figs suggests that you know, perhaps the use of poultice as a prostitute or some such thing on the authority of Hezekiah's experience. And there are times when some external application will assist faith. There's no question about that. If I laid hands on somebody, it would help them better than me just praying over them. Sometimes it's better, and there are times when some external application assists. Praise God. Now, when you look, for instance, at the faith in John 9, verse 7, here's something what I believe the Lord showed me. This really blessed me. And I'm only going to be in a few minutes, no stopping. Time's up. In John 7, verse 9, it said on him, go watch the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation saying, sent, and he went his way therefore and washed, and he came seeing. Now, what did Jesus do? Jesus took clay and he put it in his eyes. Why? You know what I believe? Where was man made from? Dust, clay. And I believe that man hadn't any sockets, nothing. And Jesus took the clay, just like man was made in the beginning, he took the clay and he put it in there. And there's your eyes for you. From clay. Just like in Genesis. And he said, go wash the pool of Siloam. And he went and he washed and he came seeing. He spat in another man's eyes. And his eyes come open. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's able to do. John 9 verse 14. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. You may question why clay. Well, my belief is, I wrote this down. My belief is, as we know, God Almighty made man from the dust of the ground. Clay, if you like. So I believe that the man had no eyes. And when Jesus put the clay there, just like the baggy, his eyes were men. Now I want to read you this account and then we're going to pray. This is a testimony from a man that was in the meeting. It's called Lifeline from the Vault. I want you to listen to this closely. This is amazing. And I'm reading it. This man received his sight and this, the gifts of healing. And they're still here. God can do it. I was as close as Mark is from here to Mark. I was here. There's a young girl there, as close as Mark is to me now, I could almost touch her with my hand. God completely opened her eyes. She had lost several children. Every time she got pregnant, she lost the children. And the Spirit of God told her she was pregnant, she wouldn't lose it, and she didn't, and she had it. God done it, just like that. Eyes in the meeting. There's another man at the back and he's absolutely paralyzed right down one side. And he was told, he wasn't even prayed for, he was told you're healed. I was in the service. Absolutely paralyzed. And he was told he had his coat off and he was told put your jacket on. And he went to get somebody to give him a hand and then he realized he didn't need a hand. And when he got to the length of the platform, he was asked to come up to the platform. When he came to the platform and he went up the steps, he couldn't believe it himself. And we couldn't get him stopped going up and down the steps because he was paralysed down one side. And he had no stick or nothing. All he did, he started running up and down the steps. And he couldn't believe he was healed. And he was a soldier. And he was bodily wounded in a war. Shot. And he'd become paralysed. God completely healed that man. And I saw it. And that young girl's eyes completely opened. And I was right in the meeting and saw it. I'm telling you now, God can do it. People with backs been healed, shoulders healed, all sorts of things. The first time I went to Norway, and I have to be honest with you, kind of honest about it, and I preached in Norway, I'm telling you, it was hard going. Hard going. And I suppose I don't really read a lot of quotes, really, compared to some. You know that. That's the truth. Some people like to hear lots of quotes read, or you're not in. You know what I'm saying? And it was tough preaching. And I called for a prayer line in the evening service and the pastor's daughter came and she had a condition for years. She had been everywhere. And God completely healed her in the service and the atmosphere just changed. And God started working in them meetings. And God completely healed that pastor's daughter. Her skin was completely healed. Just right there and then God done it. I'm telling you, God's able to do it. And you know the brother that was here with the glasses from Norway, his youngest brother, and his church as a woman was blind for years and years, and God completely healed her. They sent me the testimony, it's not that long back. Listen to this, and we're going to pray. Following Lifeline was published in the summer of 2007, Lost Memories. Now, Father, we pray that the angel of God will take their place. It's just a prayer. Let me miss the prayer and go on to this bit. He was a young man from a Pentecostal home. He had been taught to believe the Bible and had given his heart to the Lord. When he heard there was going to be a special divine healing meeting in his area, he was anxious to attend. The building in Jonesboro Arkansas was packed with people. He took his place with the other members of the choir, many of which were his friends, boys he had known all his life, sitting behind the speaker. While he couldn't see his face as he spoke, he reasoned that he would have a front row seat as the people passed through the prayer line. He watched with great interest as one by one those wanting healing walked across the platform to stand before this slight gentleman with such a humble spirit. Then suddenly his eyes riveted upon a young girl, absolutely blind, being led by her mother to the evangelist. It appeared to him that for some reason the little girl's eyes had apparently been surgically removed and she had no eyeballs. As she approached Brother Branham, it was with gentle compassion he asked her, "What do you want me to pray for to God for?" The young man's heart all but skipped a beat as he heard the little girl reply in the faith of the child, "I believe I will see when I leave here." Brother Branham asked everyone to bow their heads. He did not mean to be disrespectful. It was just that he couldn't bring himself to do it. He later said, "I tried to bow my head, but I couldn't. Perhaps it was for a reason, so you might read this." This is the fellow that saw it. Keeping very still and quiet, the young man watched as Brother Branham called the girl, then pulled her to him and softly prayed. A holy hush had fallen over the audience. As we bowed heads, they likely also prayed quietly, believing a miracle was about to happen. He had heard stories about miracles of his life. The Bible was full of them, and although he had never seen a miracle himself, vigorous preachers had made claims of such in their services, but yet none of this could have prepared the young man for what he was about to see. Suddenly, Brother Branham pushed the little girl from him. As he said, the young man watched instantly. With big white marbles formed in her eyes, he stifled a gasp at the sight, just as Brother Branham spoke to the little girl, "Oh, honey, I forgot to ask you, what colour eyes did you want?" The little girl quickly answered, "Blue." Once more, Brother Branham pulled her to him. In a voice that conveyed both assurance and humility, he prayed, "Lord, I forget to ask you, would you give her blue eyes?" The young man's gaze was fixed upon the child's eyes. As he saw the blue of the irises form in the eyes, even as she had asked the prophet of God, she left the building seeing through new eyes. Although almost half a century passed, that young man, now a pastor in a southern state, has never forgotten the day he really witnessed the power of God to create. And I tell you, that's what God's able to do. And there's people that's never seen miracles, but there's people that have. And if anybody's ever really seen it, maybe you believe it even you don't see it, but when you see it, and then somebody preaches against it, you know that's wrong. And I tell you, God wants our faith to come up. And he wants us to believe him for everything, for the supernatural. Our God's able to do anything. He's able to do it. And these gifts are still in the church. And here's a statement William Branham makes continually. I don't care what sermons you go through them. He says, "I can show you where he put the gifts in. Show me where he talked about." And he says, when the disciples couldn't cure the man, he said, Jesus never took the power off them. He said they just didn't have the faith to use it. So the power of God is available. But God wants us to stir ourselves up and have faith to believe it. Now we need to hear about faith. Faith need, how does it come? By hearing the word of God, faith comes. And when you hear about miracles, you'll have faith for miracles. And I believe God will let us see them by his grace. Amen. Let's come and pray tonight and seek the Lord. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight. Lord, that your word says in Hebrews 13 verse 8, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. The unchanging God. Lord, you never take a gift back. It's a gift from God. And these gifts of healing, you never took them out of your church. But they're in your church. And your church is still on earth, waiting for the catching away. And how we need these gifts of healing tonight. We need your mighty visitation. Lord, we need your help. We need your power. We need the anointing that will break and destroy every yoke before your people. Lord, we're asking for the power of God to come upon us in a fresh and a new way. Lord, for a fresh anointing, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come upon your children. Come in our meetings, come in our homes, come in our lives. Visit us out of our work, visit us when we're at the kitchen sink, at the dinner table. Oh God, we're asking for a mighty visitation of the power of God in our lives. That you'll give us that faith. Forgive us, Lord, for our shortcomings, for unbelief. For unbelief is a sin, and we repent of our unbelief tonight. And we ask for faith in the living God and in the word of the living God. And we thank you for these testimonies. It's here that we can read them and have faith to believe you, that you can do anything, Lord, you're able to do it. Father, pray for me own dad tonight. Pray the hand of Almighty God will be mightily upon him. Lord, that this blood condition will vanish, that it will go, that it will dry up. The woman touched your garment, the hem of your garment, and her bloody, she was gone immediately, instantly, by the power of Almighty God. Lord, you're the same. You are the same. Lord, you do not change. And we're asking you for a manifestation of the power of Almighty God. Pray for Brother John. You'll anoint him on Sunday morning, that the power of God will come on a brother, that you'll use your brother in the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ's name. Pray, Lord, you'll touch people's hearts. You'll touch people's lives. Lord, we ask for Roman Roof tonight. Lord, that you'll move them. Roman Victoria, that you'll move them, that you'll speak to them, that the Holy Spirit will open their understanding and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon them tonight. We ask, Lord, for this list that a brother Gary has, for all the children, for aunts, for uncles, for all, Lord, it's on the list, that you'll save every single one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, you'll deliver them and set them free with your mighty power in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, this evening, bless us in this room. Lord, there's not many of us, but you promised us, for two or three are gathered in your name, you're in the midst. I pray for Eileen Jones tonight. Pray and bless her sister Eileen. Pray and give her strength, give her grace. Speak to her husband. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll speak to that man. Then you'll move him, Lord. Shake him. Give him a shake, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And speak to him, Lord. And give him a desire and a hunger to come with his wife to the house of God, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, for those people, Lord, that sit at home watching television tonight, that should be in the house of God, Lord, you deal with them. Speak with them. And convict them. And bring them back to yourself, Lord. And restore the backslidden, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we desire your visitation. We want you to move on us afresh and new, that we be lively stones, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, going about and doing the Father's business. Help us to be the written epistles, seen and read of all men, in Jesus Christ's name. Cover us with your blood this night. Cover all our children with your blood, and save every single one of them, in Jesus Christ's name. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Now bless your word forever it goes, Lord. Touch hearts, speak hearts. And Lord, if someone needs a healing touch listening to this message, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I pray they'll receive their healing in Jesus Christ's name for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Just let's continue to pray and seek the Lord.